Mine smells a little fruity. Welcome to the Abyss, everybody. We're doing stuff a little differently today because Cleet and I are not in the same location.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Yeah, this is going to be a little bit different. We're going to have to try to rift off each other virtually.
Oh. Yeah, because I'm at my house. Cleet's at his house.
And we got separate beers, which I got to talk about because I got double cross ale. Because I'm always just, you know, couple
double cross.
I'm ready to double cross Britain at any time. This beer, oh my God, it's 9%. It's strong.
Damn, you went 9%. I got one that's called Hazer Tag. It's a hazy IPA. And the can is awesome.
Hazer.
It's like laser tag.
You were always the art beer person, drinker.
Oh. Yeah. Woo-hoo. That'll put some hair on your chest. How much is this? I don't even know the percentage on this guy. That tastes like a lot, though. Uh-oh. We're in for a treat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I got some of that peanut butter whiskey, too, because you ruined me by introducing me to that peanut butter.
It's so good.
It's amazing. It's the best whiskey I've ever had.
7% is what I got, so you're 2% above me. So you're going to have a little bit more fun than I will. Hopefully not by too much. The new Fallout show started on Amazon. It's really good. We watched the first episode. It's based on the video game, but they do a really, really good job. It's like nuclear fallout, and people live in bunkers, and then they start coming out in this nuclear wasteland like hundreds of years later.
Yeah. It's
pretty amazing so far.
I might check it out.
I don't think I've watched anything else spooky.
All right, everybody. So tonight, we're going to be going back to true scary stories from the internet.
Well, they say true. They say true. Well, but I think that's for us to decide on whether or not we think that it is true.
I mean, to be fair, out of all the threads on Reddit, it says right in the post, like, post your true scary story. If you go to the no sleep, it kind of is like, these could be true, you know, maybe in quotations. Everybody knows, sure. Like, I would say 95% of everything in there is just well-written fakeness. But I feel like this thread is very true. Very true stories.
Yeah. Well, you did say well written, which I will agree. A normal Reddit thread, man, you get some vocabulary that I'm like, how do you tie your shoes when you wake up in the morning? Because it's called punctuation.
That's what
vocabulary.
All right. The first story is titled "Truck Stops Are Either Haunted or Portals to Hell." Sign me up.
Oh, damn!
I worked in the truck stop industry for about 15 years. All of the following stories took place at the same location. I worked there less than 18 months. If people are interested, I have some other stories at other locations, but this one had the most frequent occurrence of weird stuff that happened. I was given the opportunity to help open this brand new location, and since it came with a fat raise and a promotion, I definitely accepted. It now has been about 5 years since the location opened. I don't believe there is a single employee left that was there when we opened of the over 60 employees we hired prior to the opening day. On opening day, not long after the ribbon cutting ceremony, a woman delivering flowers dropped the flowers on her sandaled foot and sliced her foot open, bleeding all over the entrance. That's a bad omen.
Nice.
Within a week of being open, we had water and sewage coming through all the drains, including sewage ones outside all over the property. It had not been raining. It wasn't like a flood situation weather-wise. We had no idea what caused it suddenly to happen. And just as quickly as it happened, it went away. Plumbers were baffled. This doesn't seem like a haunting. It just sounds like a shitty situation thus far.
Yeah, it just sounds like a horrible experience is all I'm hearing.
A couple of months after we opened, we faced a severe storm that destroyed the high-rise interstate sign and caused a 7-hour power outage. I had sent several people home, but I had kept a couple of employees in case the power came back on. As we sat in the restaurant dining room, chatting under an electric lantern light, an employee who was a local resident and had lived in the town all of her life mentioned that people were a little worried when this place was announced to be built because this property had been rumored to be a Native American burial ground for years.
Yeah, there it is. And that's the haunting piece. You don't fuck with burial grounds, man.
I have zero way to prove or disprove if this is accurate, but given the events getting more serious as time went on, It makes you wonder. When the power did come back, despite several steps I took, like unplugging all the equipment to make sure the surge wouldn't fry stuff, we lost several pieces of expensive equipment. Some of this equipment was critical and caused major operational problems for weeks until it could be replaced. The first winter, after we opened, was the coldest in years. So cold that we had to buy space heaters for the servers in the electrical rooms so the servers wouldn't freeze. We had issues with frozen pipes, especially in the truck care center and the restaurant. Again, like, nothing really paranormal here. Just, you know, seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong.
Yeah, isn't that Murphy's Law? It's going to take some time for the ghost to show up, man.
Yeah.
Just wait. It's going to be like, we're going to wrap it up, and all of a sudden it's like, and there was a ghost. The end.
Okay, here it comes, Britain. 6 months after opening was the first death. A truck driver came in to take a shower in one of our shower rooms, and we had sensors on the doors that let us know how long someone had been in there. If the timer had been going for a couple of hours, we would knock on the door to see if maybe they actually left so we could clean it for the next driver. The employee knocked on the door of the shower that had been in use for a couple of hours, and there wasn't an answer. She used the key to open the door, and the driver was on the floor. He had died of a stroke. He had been driving a semi-truck 30 minutes before he entered that room. The employee who had opened the door was significantly traumatized. The company did a great job of offering support for her, but she didn't last much longer after that. What would you do if you just, you know, your job was to clean showers and you woke up and you went into the room and there was just a dead body in there? And his last words were like, keep on trucking. And then he died.
Keep what?
Keep on trucking. That was his last words. He like made direct eye contact. He was like, keep trucking.
I thought you said keep on jerking. I'm what kind of story are you telling?
Whoa, you really twisted. This is a scary podcast, Britton. Jesus.
Right. Yeah, heaven forbid we take a lustful turn here.
Maybe if we get popular, someone will make an erotic fan fiction. All right.
Yeah. Enter the Abyss, the erotic fan fiction. Oh, God. Please don't.
A few weeks later was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I was working on the restaurant side of the truck stop as the restaurant manager had quit after a series of bad things that happened to her, and they asked me to move me into the role temporarily. The assistant manager on the store side came over because the freakiest thing had just happened. She pulls me into the store side office and pulls up the cameras to show me what happened. A small four-door sedan pulls into the lot but doesn't pull into the gas station side, pulls into the truck stop side where the semi-truck pulls in. He parks next to the maintenance shed, which is located adjacent to the main building and very close to a large trash compactor. He gets out of the vehicle, opens one of the doors, and pulls out a trash bag.
And he said, it's time to take out the trash.
He throws the trash bag on top of the compactor, and he gets into his car and leaves the property. It's probably full of, like, hands.
Yeah, at least. Hands, maybe a
hands and penises.
Femur. Oh, okay. It was a small bag.
I don't remember exactly how long, as she had fast-forwarded the footage, but I think it was an hour or two later he returned. He pulls back next to the compactor, climbs on top of the compactor, and chucks the bag onto the roof of the maintenance shed. He then climbs down off of the compactor, gets in his car, and leaves and never returns. This is when he was noticed by an employee who had been outside gathering trash to take to the compactor. The maintenance shed is more of a small building slash garage. It's about 20 by 20. If the employee had not seen him throw it up there, it probably wouldn't have been noticed, maybe ever, as the building was as high as a one-story building. Once the employee saw the individual leave, he goes into the shed, gets a ladder, and goes to get the bag on top of the roof of the shed. He brought the bag inside the store and shows the assistant manager. What do you think was in the bag, Britton? What do you think?
I think you're right. I think it's just a bunch of hands and penises. I mean, it's definitely going to be some body parts. Some bad shit's happening there, for sure.
All right, let's hear it. Inside the bag is a ton of paper. These documents list hundreds, thousands of addresses across the United States. Under each address is a specific hidden location on the property where a body could be found. No information on who the individuals were, just sex and location of the individual slash individuals on these properties. The location spanned from coast to coast, but I didn't get a chance to look too deeply into them. I was really freaked out, and I thought that touching them would maybe contaminate something. So we just put what we had pulled out back into the bag. The obvious answer here was to call the police, so that is what happened next. That's fucking
do you think,
bizarre.
Do you think it's legit, or do you think it's some kind of prank? Because how easy would that be? Like, you're like, I'm just going to write all these things and put them in a bag, and someone's going to think that I murdered a bunch of people.
That's quite an elaborate prank. And like they said,
elaborate.
If someone didn't see him throw it on the roof, then it would never have been found. So, like,
sure,
you know, sounds like a, I don't know, sounds, it's intriguing. I'll give you that much. Now, the thing about truck stops is that they are more often than not in remote locations along interstates for obvious reasons. The town this truck stop is located in has 3 police officers in total. It is a town with less than 1,000 people. So, when I say the chief of police showed up, it's because he was the highest ranking officer of the 3 in the town. He hated us as truck stops bring crime, and suddenly he had a lot more work to do. He comes in, watches the footage, and looks in the bag. And the most frustrating thing here is that he was not concerned in the slightest. He asked...
He's like the highest ranked person, but he just graduated boot camp a week before.
No,
he said, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
He asked what we wanted him to do about it. It was probably a prank, etc. He took the items with him, filled out a form for a request for the footage, and left. My hope here is that at least he forwarded this to the FBI. This reminds me of that serial killer episode we're talking about where all the boys were going missing. And the cops are like, oh, they're just running away. We have a... like a teenage boy, like runaway epidemic. Nothing to see here. Move on.
Yeah, just mass runaways. Maybe if you weren't such bad parents.
Jesus. A couple of weeks after this, there was a body found of a bound, nude, and recently deceased man across the street at a dump. Because it was a dump, they had no idea where the individual had originated from. Sometime in the following weeks was the second death on the property. It was a driver that had died in his truck. Somewhere in the middle of this, we had another severe storm, and the interstate high-rise was destroyed again. We had another weird incident involving abandoned things, but this one had a resolution. A driver came in to show us that someone had left. Ratchet straps and small children clothing folded up neatly next to a diesel pump. The combination of the items was alarming for me, so I got on the camera system and called the police. I was able to find the truck that left the items, and luckily, I got one of the amazing police officers in town this time. She actually did her job and followed up with me to let me know that she had found the driver and called him. He had his kid in the truck for a while for summer break. But it had ended, so he brought her home with her mom and wasn't going to see his kid for a while. So he was cleaning out his truck. He had this clothing and some straps he didn't need and thought someone else could use the items. He didn't think about the combination of the two, raising eyebrows, and he honestly was really grateful that somebody would be worried and followed up on the case. Hey, not a bad story there. I'm all right with that. A couple of months after the first year mark, the state DOT had to shut down the off-on ramp to the interstate exit as it started to collapse, and they were worried that the overpass would collapse as well. We had nearly zero business for weeks as construction crews rebuilt the ramps and repaired the overpass. It was during this time that I earned a promotion to a general manager role and was moved to a different location. I kept in touch for a while, especially with my former boss and the assistant manager. The incidences continued. A couple months after I left, there were 2 major incidents, but I cannot remember which one came first. One was involving an individual that entered the building with a machete.
Oh.
He was aggressive. That's shocking.
Never. He was. When you ever see a guy with a machete just walking out, it's not a good thing.
He was really laid back.
He was just some chill guy with a machete. No, nothing to be alarmed about.
The employees were terrified. I wish I hadn't deleted it, but there was footage of state troopers coming in with AKs and drop-kicking the guy. unsure where this person came from as he walked, and this location was 10 to 15 miles from the nearest town. The second was a customer, attacked a teenage cashier because he didn't get the customer's lotto ticket correct, and got into a brawl with the maintenance guy who came to the kid's defense. Slowly over time, I lost touch with them, and they both left the location, so I stopped getting the stories. I don't know if they're continuing. Haunted? Portal to hell? I don't know. But what I do know is now I avoid truck stops like the plague. I liked it. It was a good story.
It was all right. So, but the verdict is out still, right? Is it a portal to hell?
I don't think.
Or just haunted?
There was nothing paranormal in there. Outside of the, like, yeah. The only thing that raised questions to me was the dead bodies on just random, dresses. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing paranormal about that. Just your average old truck stop. This one is called Deep Sea Expedition Encounter. I hate deep sea stuff. Like, I definitely have thalassophobia, so that's why I picked this one. The story is not mine, but my uncle's. I'll clarify that while I believe this story to be true, there's a lot of room for speculation. I'll start out with some background information. My uncle's been a marine biologist for the past 50 years. He's now in his 60s and has spent the last 25 years teaching marine biology at a university. His area of expertise has been the North and Mid-Atlantic Ocean. Growing up, every time we would visit him in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, he would tell us countless stories of the numerous deep-sea expeditions he participated in. Prior to his teaching years, he was primarily a researcher. Every single story was interesting and filled with wonder. The story I'm about to tell is the only one that has me questioning what is really out there in the deep ocean. For the sake of this story, I'll refer to my uncle as Uncle Jay, or just Jay, to keep some semblance of anonymity. This story begins when Uncle Jay was getting ready to embark on an upcoming expedition to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. The research vessel they would be traveling on was a medium-sized vessel, roughly 80 meters long. One of those ships that has a crane and is crewed by maybe 20 men. There was maybe 15 marine biologists of various specialties attending. It was early summertime in the late 90s. I'm unsure of the exact date, and Uncle Jay was about 30 at the time. He said they couldn't have had a better day for loading the vessel. The ocean was calm and the weather was beautiful. They'd be out at sea for the next month and a half, all weather forecasts looking promising. Once the ship was loaded, they embarked on their journey. It took them approximately a week to reach the ridge. The primary goal of this expedition was examine and possibly identify new species of sea life in that region. Additionally, they wanted to examine how known species lived. They didn't have any submarines, so in order to find any new species, they had an intriguing plan. Using the crane on board the ship, they attached cow carcasses to the hook, lowered them into the water near the ocean floor. That's crazy, man. Just fucking cows that they're putting on these cranes and just dropping them in the ocean.
It feels unnatural, weird, grosses me out.
They're going to find something big. A few feet away from the hook was multiple cameras and lights to observe any sea life that might devour the carcass. Uncle Jay said they had about 10 carcasses. That's so many fucking cows. They'd begin their journey in the northern portion, lower the carcasses into the water for a few days, and then move south along the ridge, repeating this process. When the carcasses were lowered in the ship, they would power down all engines and simply drift. If they drifted away from the ridge, they would power up and very slowly move back into position. This was rather low-budget mission, and the cameras on the hook didn't provide a live feed. All the footage was thoroughly examined after. That was about 48 hours of footage they had to sift through each time they pulled the hook back up. That would be so boring. All right, now you got to examine 2 days' worth of footage.
Ooh.
They had been at this for about a week, and it made not... and had not made any new discoveries, but did gain valuable footage of rarely seen sea life consuming the cows. At this point in the story, Uncle Jay said everything was going according to plan. The seas were calm, and everyone on board was enjoying their time. They were into their fifth cow carcass. It was about 5 p.m., and they hooked it up and lowered it into the water. This portion of the ridge they were at was about 3,500 meters deep and was pushing the limit of how much cable they had on the crane. Now, for this mission, two of the marine biologists were required to monitor the crane and their location in relation to the ridge all times. My uncle and another biologist drew the short straw and had to watch overnight. They'd swap out around 9 a.m. Uncle Jay said it was an uneventful night. Him and the other biologist chatted all night and bounced different theories off of each other. It was around 7 a.m., just as the sun was rising. All was calm. Almost too calm, Jay remarked. They hadn't drifted off course throughout the night. The ocean was like glass. Much of the crew was beginning to rise as well. But what happens next is a complete shock to everybody on board. It's important to note that the crane had been angled off the right side of the ship. All of a sudden, and very rapidly, the 80-meter-long vessel began listing to the right side. It was almost as if something had grabbed the hook and began pulling it deeper. My uncle said the immediate panic that he felt was unlike anything that he had ever experienced. He said it felt like the ship was going to capsize. They immediately sounded the ship's onboard alarm system to notify the crew of an emergency. Once they had their faculties in order after the initial shock, my uncle ordered the other biologists to begin reeling in the crane. Dude, that would be so intense. Since the cabling was so long, it would take about 20 minutes to completely reel in the line. The other biologists began to reel in the crane, but the winch was struggling and the ship was leaning more and more into the water. My uncle said that just as the water began to pour over the right side of the ship, it smacked down to an upright position. He was sent flying into some containers.
Oh.
Many of the crew had begun to come out now as well. They're like, what's going on? The ship's all over the place.
What did they catch?
There were several...
Megalodon.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be freaking cool to catch a megalodon nowadays. Over the next 20 minutes, as the crane was still retracting the line, the crew asked their injuries and had any damages... Oh, it's assessed. Why did he write asked? The crew assessed their injuries. Oh my god. The crew assessed their injuries and any damages to the ship. My uncle was ultimately uninjured despite being thrown around. He said waiting for the line to come up was the longest 20 minutes of his life. Everyone was in complete shock as to what had just happened. 2 minutes of complete chaos, and now all was calm again. When the crane returned to the surface, the cow carcass was completely gone, and the large metal hook was slightly bent.
Damn.
A few of the cameras were missing, but thankfully not all. Dude, that's nuts.
Wait, they get footage of what caught it?
We'll see. The cow carcass being completely gone was the most interesting part, as in every other case, it was never gone completely. The vessel's captain made the decision to head back shortly after this incident, much to the disappointment of the biologists, including my uncle. He wanted to find out what could have caused this. However, several onboard generators were damaged of the impact, and they were essential to the ship's operation. So, they had to return. My uncle believed it was because the CPT and the ship's crew were terrified, and rightfully so. On the week-long journey back, the biologist began examining the footage to try to identify what had caused this. The footage, by all accounts, was completely normal. There was the carcass about 10 meters off the seafloor, illuminated by the floodlights. Some small shrimp-like sea life was feasting on the cow when all of a sudden the cameras went black. Not as if they stopped recording, but something was covering them.
What?
The timestamps... That's crazy. The timestamp showed it was the correct time of the incident, and after 2 minutes, the lights came back on, and they could see again. It wasn't much, though, as an enormous amount of sediment was kicked up from the ocean floor and had now enveloped the view of the cameras. While they were about to rule out the hook getting snagged on the bottom, they were never able to see what had caused this.
It was the megadong.
Oh, the ocean megadong, huh? I've heard about the megadong, the myth, the legend.
Yep.
And that's how the story ends. Now answer and... Oh, no answer or explanation. That was it. They returned to port and reported their findings, but to my knowledge, nothing ever came about it. My uncle has his theories for what could have caused this, ranging from a hungry sperm whale to giant squid to some unknown massive sea creature. Whatever it was, it must have been huge in order to devour a complete cow carcass in under 2 minutes and nearly capsize an 80-meter research vessel. While this story is outlandish and hard to believe, I have no reason to disagree with it. My uncle has never told any story that was similar to this. It's the only one that comes close to sea monsters and the unknown, but it makes you think, what could really be out there, lurking in the deep ocean? That one was fuck. I don't like the deep sea. Like, I'll swim in the lakes and stuff, and you put me on the ocean, no thanks.
When you're in the water, you are part of the food chain, and you are not on top of that food chain. All right, this one is titled, A Weird Coincidence. My childhood friends...
Coincidence?
I turned left.
I think not.
My childhood friends and I were at a local bar when our elementary art teacher approached and offered to buy us drinks. She was pretty cool, as the teacher always took interest in her students and told cool stories about her childhood in Wales. Anyway, after one drink, the topic of conversation took a 180, and she starts telling us that she and her family members have all experienced close encounters.
Of the third kind?
Anything from abductions to missing time. We were in shock. Just sat there listening for 30 minutes. Can you imagine just saying that to, like, people you taught to like from, like, 10 years ago?
We have lots of encounters. Have you guys ever just noticed the time just stops working?
Do you remember when you, did that painting of that shitty plant in, like, ninth grade? Well, anyways, I was abducted. I asked a couple of follow-up questions about the nature of these experiences, and the overall gist was that aliens were focused on certain bloodlines and genetics. I was always interested in the paranormal, but this experience definitely led me down some rabbit holes. Fast forward 3 years later, I started a new job as a staff analyst, and I'm in another state doing an audit with my senior. About halfway through the week, our senior manager meets us on the site to check on things and takes us out to lunch. About 5 minutes after sitting down, he starts telling this weird story about an experience him and his family had. Essentially, none of his family could remember the last 5 hours of their drive home from vacation. They started driving in the night and woke up the next morning in their driveway. He was completely serious and had no idea what could have caused it, and had no theories on what it could be. The weird as fuck part was that it sounded exactly like one of the stories my art teacher told us at the bar. I didn't say anything at lunch because I didn't want to sound crazy and left it at that. Anyways, after lunch, I did a quick Google search on the origins of the guy's last name. Somewhat uncommon, but unique sounding for sure. Turns out it originated in Wales, some place my teacher was from. Do 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 do.
Okay, so this is titled, My Real Life True Scary Story. This happened to me about a number of years ago, and I have never forgotten. One night, as I was lying in bed trying to get some sleep, my black cat Sabrina scratched at my bedroom door to be let out. Tired, but mostly awake, I slipped out of bed, shuffled to my door, and let her go out. However, she looked at me and guided me to the side door to go outside. I went to the door and opened it, then pushed the screen door out of the way so that she could leave. However, after I closed the screen door, I happened to look out across the way, which happens to be the side of my neighbor's house.
Some weird things were going on in that house.
Yeah, the windows were open and they were getting
hula
freaky.
Hoops. Hula hoops were involved.
In the driveway, blocking a bit of their house, is my dad's 1995 Chevy truck. On the other side of my dad's truck, I saw a strange figure standing by the hood. I could only see its shoulders and up. It had a larger head than its body, from what I could see. Its neck was thin, and its shoulders were bony-looking. Whatever it was had two large, empty eye sockets where eyes should be, but weren't. They were pitch black, like two voids against its pale skin. Now, the rest of the face I could never forget. It looked like the upper half of its face was covered in skin, and the lower it went towards its jaws, it looked shredded. Where the jaw was located, it was complete bone, and it had a wide, toothy grin as it just stood there and seemed to be looking right at me. Jesus Christ. Mind you, I wear glasses to see distances, and I thought that maybe I was seeing some kind of blur of the bushes or something from the neighbor's house. So I squinted my eyes to get a better look. It made it worse. I saw even more details of the creature than I did before squinting. Everything about its appearance became more clear and detailed. The texture of the skin, the wrinkles, the bits of torn-up looking flesh. There was no mistaking what I had seen now. Terrified, I closed the side door and I locked it. I was breathing heavily as my heart raced in my chest. It's going to get your cat, because I think the cat left, right? It's fucking cat food now.
Don't kill the cat. Don't do it.
Even then, I tried to reason with myself that maybe what I saw wasn't real, but I couldn't shake it. I know what I saw. Still scared, I ran into my room and I jumped into my bed. I was in my 30s, yet I took my blankets and I hid under the covers like a kid. After all these years, I suddenly felt the way I used to feel as a child when I would wake up to vivid night terrors. that fear of not being able to escape the horrors of my imagination, feeling completely alone and vulnerable, even though my parents were across the way in their bedroom. As I hid under the blankets, I suddenly heard long, continuous scratches on my wall by where the creature was seen. It's kind of like it was in my room and running a nail along my bumpy bedroom wall. Bumpy bedroom wall, huh? I could hear the nail lightly thump each time it hit them.
Sounds like there's water damage. I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Just like a bunch of water damage.
It's a really bumpy wall.
My room is bubbly.
Ever since the mold came in, I've been seeing this weird stuff. Mm.
Can't breathe normally as well either. It's really weird. My panicking grew, and I felt more and more at the mercy of childhood trauma. I started to cry, and I tried to talk myself out of this fear that gripped me. Maybe this thing fed on fear, I thought to myself. Maybe it was getting a rise out of me in my fear for its enjoyment. I tried to calm down and tell myself that everything was okay. As I was starting to relax, the scratching finally stopped and everything went quiet. Suffice it to say, I did not want to see that thing ever again. Oh, come on, man, it's harmless. And to try and convince myself that I was seeing things. The next night, as the cat wanted to go outside again, and I reluctantly looked in the location of where the creature had stood behind the hood of my dad's truck. He's like, no, you can just piss on the floor. I don't care. I'm not letting you outside anymore. That thing is out there. Nothing in the area looked like the creature at all. Not even any of the features. That's when I settled with myself that what I saw was real, and that realization scared me all the more. I never want to see that thing again, and I hope it never comes back.
Oof, what a scary story. I'm like concerned about his walls in his bedroom, though, considering that they're bumpy.
That was the scariest part, is the bumpy walls. I'm sure he just meant they were textured, like spackled, but you know, I think the water damage is a good assumption. Every time it rains, I just wake up soaking wet.
I don't know what's going on.
My walls are more bumpy, and my ceiling sags. It's got these big bubbles.
Looks like a pregnant woman's stomach. All right, this one is titled My True Scary Story. It was probably summer of 2010. I was 15, 16 years old at the time. Me and my neighbor snuck out on a school night to walk around and smoke some joints and cigs. Typical rebellious teen stuff. The whole night...
Who needs math when you've got marijuana?
The whole night, we told scary stories, but not ghost stories. We talked about a rape that happened in our neighborhood in the 70s, as well as kidnappers and other dark topics, etc., all just to scare each other. It's around 1 a.m., and we're walking down a long stretch of street on our way home. Very few streetlights and lots of oak trees, so very dark, it is also raining at this point. A little ahead of us, on our left side, other side of the street, a hooded figure comes out from the front door of a house, and they start walking the same direction we are. They then cross the street, so that if we continued, we'd walk by them. So we cross the road. This person crosses back and confronts us in the street under a dim streetlight. To our surprise, when they removed the hood, it was a beautiful, red-headed woman, probably late 30s and early 40s. She didn't smell like alcohol, but was probably drugged up. She seemed very aloof and seemed to gaze into my soul in a weird way. She starts asking us things like, "Why are you out so late? Where do you live? Do your parents know where you are?" She also tried to make an advance on me and grabbed me and pulled me into her. I was very paranoid and on the edge, so I stepped back and said, "Step off, don't touch me." All the while this was happening, a man in a light blue New York Yankees hat is walking down the street smoking a cig. Coming from the same way we did, he had a purposeful stride and looked intimidating. He was probably late 20s. He walked right by us, after we carried on and we told the woman to piss off. He turns back around and approaches us. He says, "What did the woman say to you? What did she tell you?" We reiterated her question and told him she freaked us out and must be crazy or on drugs. He thanks us and chases this woman down, and he begins walking back the way we came from. He pulls her...
She's in trouble.
Yeah. And he pulls her back into the house. She came excited from all the while she is fighting back against him. I never saw the woman ever again or the guy. This happened one street over from my house. Who were they? Why did she approach us? Why did this guy want to know what she said? I did not sleep a wink that night. It was unsettling as fuck. When it was all going down, I was positive she was a distraction for the guy to jump us and stick us with a needle or something. Like, why would someone want to do that? We had discussed kidnap kits that night, so that's where my mind was. I know this...
Kidnap kits?
I don't know, man.
The fuck is a kidnap kit?
I don't know. I know this might not be scary, but it was certainly strange, and I was unsettled as fuck, didn't sleep all night. Thanks for reading, and what are your thoughts on this? Ask me anything. I like how someone says, so you didn't try to help her or call for help for her?
That's my thought.
No, I was really spooked.
Some lady is like, oh, God. And then some guy's like, what did she tell you? And then pulls her back in the house, and they're like, that's weird. Anyway, back to our walk. Like, you're not going to do anything about this?
I don't know, man.
This is called Late Night Woods Encounter.
Ooh, sounds provocative.
Oh. What? It was a beautiful night. The moon hung delicately in the sky.
Just like her breasts.
This happened last summer, and it's probably the weirdest and scariest thing that has ever happened to me. It was a warm New England summer night, and my friend, who I'll call Chris, was sleeping over at my house. Chris and I have always been night owls, so whenever we sleep over each other's houses, we usually stay up pretty late. We're up around 2 a.m., getting bored out of our minds, trying to think of stuff to do. We're both into the outdoors, so I came up with the bright idea to go on a short night hike. We brought some firecrackers to light off, and some music. Looking back, it was a dumb idea, but whatever. Yeah, it's 2 a.m., bringing the firecrackers and some music on a hike. Why not? I live on a rural dirt road surrounded by woods, so there's a decent amount of trails near me. We got there, and unexpectedly, it was very muddy. I had dropped my flashlight, which broke it. We're considering turning around, but we ended up just using our phone flashlights. You break your flashlight, go back. Like, the universe is giving you plenty of signs. Turn around. I've been to this place before, and I knew of a pond with a dock that was on the trail that we could go to. The hike to the dock only took about 20 minutes. When we got there, we were greeted by hundreds of frogs croaking constantly, which made us a little on edge, but we stayed. We lit off some of those little red firecrackers that make a loud noise, but no fire. Started to play some music on our speaker, and we're starting to have a good time when Chris tells me to turn the music down. He thinks that he's heard something. I turned it down, and there was the sound of an engine in the not-so-far distance. Sounded like an ATV or another small type of vehicle. Now, these trails are known to have ATVs, side-by-sides, jeeps, etc. to ride on them, so it's not out of the ordinary to hear those types of noises out here. But all I could think was, who in the hell would be out riding at this time of night? I mean, who the hell is out here throwing firecrackers and listening to music at this time of night?
Yeah, seriously, right? Maybe they're afraid of them.
Like, they're like, who's fucking lighting firecrackers? It's 2 a.m.
I'm going to turn my engine on.
It's probably around 2:30 in the morning when we heard this noise. Me and Chris looked at each other with confused looks. The sound was coming closer, and we decided to quickly pack up our stuff. Whatever vehicle it was coming down to our location, and we didn't know what else to do, so we hid in the nearby bushes and ditch. The vehicle had reached us and had stopped just before the opening to the dock and was just idling for a solid 5 minutes. This is the weird part. Whoever it was had their headlights turned off and most likely used a small flashlight to navigate so we could not see their location. They were purposefully trying not to be seen. Why would anyone with good intentions want us not to see them? Our hearts were pounding, and at this point we were genuinely scared. After 5 minutes, the vehicle left the opening and headed off in another direction. Once we thought it was far enough away, we booked it back to the car, just using my phone screen light to see. On the way back, we saw fresh exhaust smoke lingering and tire tracks on the trail, which means they saw our car at the trailhead and knew we were there. Thankfully, we made it back to the car, and while we were driving home, Chris said, "What?"
Oh, what,
Chris
what?
Said, "That felt like pure survival," which I thought was a great way of describing the whole situation. Now, I've come up with a theory to what was going on that night. Maybe someone was late night cruising on the main road with their ATV and saw our car and thought we were lost, tried helping us, but that didn't explain why they were hiding their location. Besides the whole no headlight thing, I also thought it was weird that somebody would be out there at that hour on their off-road vehicle. If anyone has any ideas of what was going on, please let me know.
This one is called Who or What Waved from My Mother's Flat. You might nor believe what happened to me yesterday. It's still playing on my mind, and I can't make sense of it. I visit my mom every few months since I live abroad. I live in Paris, and she's in Belgium. We have this cheesy tradition where she waves at me from her window every time I head out, even for a couple of hours. We've been doing this for 17 years, since she moved there and I was 14. However, this last visit took a very strange turn. As usual, after saying goodbye, I walk to the bus stop. There's a path from her street leading to the bus shelter. Turning around for that familiar wave, I saw her at the window. She smiled, waved, and I could clearly see her smile. She was holding the curtain with one hand and waving with the other. I waved back and she smiled and waved again. Our usual little moment. But then, she texted me. She said she hadn't seen me leave on the street and was wondering if I'd reached the bus stop. She told me she went to the window to say goodbye, but I was already gone. I'm certain of what I saw, and there is no way anyone else was in her apartment. My mom lives alone and never entertains. Also, I was in the flat 2 minutes before it and just her and I. Her place is on the third floor, and while details are hard to catch from the ground, the gestures and the smile was unmistakable. My mom insisted she wasn't at the window when I was out and definitely didn't wave at me. I believe her. It's also worth noting that what prevented her from going to the window to check on me was that she heard me speaking with a neighbor in the staircase, and so she opened her door to remind me the bus was scheduled only a couple of minutes later. There was no one in the staircase, and I didn't meet a neighbor while going out. I've encountered my fair share of the unexplainable, and this has only deepened my curiosity. There's no logical explanation for someone else being in the apartment or entering unnoticed. So, what did I see? Is there an explanation? I was feeling great yesterday. Didn't drink or take drugs either for that day.
I need to be very clear. That day, I was not under the influence of any heavy drugs or alcohol.
I'm looking at you, Reddit. I need your theories, insight, or if you've had similar experiences, what do you think was happening at my mom's window that day?
There's someone frogging your mom. It's when someone lives in your house secretly in the attic.
I'm a ribbiter.
Or wherever.
I'm ribbiting her.
It's a thing. I don't remember what movie it was, but like it's what it's called. Is you break into someone's house and you live there without them knowing. They call it frogging.
Wow, that's really good.
Well, that is going to wrap us up for the evening. Hopefully you enjoyed these true scary stories from online. We're going to give a huge shout out to our 9 paid supporters of the show. Modelo Time, Cleet Meat, Claytor, Lord of Soup, Curtis and Lara, Mothman, Devin, Lara, Conklin Family, and Lou. Again, thank you all for your continued contributions to the show. I do want to point out, Cleet, that Cleet Meat has a little magnifying glass next to the name. Is that suspicious?
I want to say that I am honored that someone has named their meat after me, regardless of how big or small that meat might be.
Magnifying glass. So we have officially booked our Clown Motel rooms, folks. It is done and paid for. Unfortunately, there was a lot of bookings when we were looking to originally go. So we had to push out a little bit.
We wanted to get the scariest room, the 2 scariest rooms, and they were only available on a specific week in which we got them both, which I am so excited for, and you will all be excited for when you see them.
Yeah, I think they're known for being the most haunted rooms. They're definitely the most expensive rooms, I'll say that. Like, it wasn't the cheapest thing. But yes, we got both of them booked, so you'll get to see us encounter the scariest rooms at the same time. So that is booked. It is coming up for several reasons. We can't give you the exact date, but it is coming up. We're very excited. Got the camera rolling. But thank you all for the support. Obviously, how many subs are we at now, Cleet? We're like 613 last I checked.
We're at 620.
So we're at 620 subscribers. And obviously, as we said before, once we hit 1,000, we'll be visiting a new location. So if you have any suggestions, EntertheAbyssPod@gmail.com.
If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe as it really helps us get us out there. And as always, thank you for entering the abyss.
Until next time.